Morning. Must be Thursday. Wow, we're all on the same page. Praise the Lord, glad to be here again this morning, and I've brought with me, as usual, another AFCO student. Today I have with me Nico Hill. The people who come through AFCO have a wide range of backgrounds. Some of them are fourth-generation homeschooled kids who've never left home before, and some of them are drug dealers and gangbangers and the whole nine yards. And we've got everything from A to Z and in between. Nico doesn't really fall to either of those extremes, though he may tend one way than another. I'm going to share with you just a little bit about Nico before I introduce him, or actually introduce him. He has some pictures from his former life that he doesn't like to look at the pictures because it brings back some memories, so he asked if maybe I could show them to you before he comes in. But Nico is a two-time bare-knuckle fighting champion. He's also been in about 35 or 40 Hollywood movies. So some of the people that he's hung out with and the things that he's done, by much of the world, would be considered a success. But he's looking back at those things and realizing that success is a little bit different than what the world often has to offer. So here's just a little bit of where Nico came from. From a very early age, he knew his Heavenly Father and was baptized at around the age of 7. And that really stuck with him, and I say praise God for that. But this is Nico with his mother some years ago. That's one of his 8x10s. If you're doing modeling or acting, these are things that you give out to potential clients. Here he is acting in a couple of movies. During the mid-1990s, he starred in quite a few different martial arts films. You can see him down here, second from the left, in a movie called Bloodsport 2. Here he is with some fighters. On the bottom right is a gentleman by the name. Anybody know who that is on the bottom right? Aaron Spelling. Well appreciated, it passed away now, but in Hollywood. Here he is on the top right, or top left, with Ghetto Man Joe Charles, another fighter, and there he is down in his own gym teaching someone how to fight. The guy on the top left there, anybody recognize him? George Foreman. Fred Dreyer down there in the bottom right. This is Nico fighting in the world championship in a cage match. Here he is with one of his toys. Hugh Hefner, top left. Gary Busey, there in the center, another actor. This was Nico when he was fighting over in Russia in one of the championships. You can't see it very well in those pictures. He got a couple of plasters on him, but he did real well. There he is with his belts. Wow. With his father in the top left, and again, championship belts in the bottom right. Let's see. One of the magazines that featured him. And he even had his own television series on Spike TV. It was number one rated series for a while. Basically, they blew things up. That's kind of what they did. And now, of course, he's an AFCO student. So we're excited that he's made it this far. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll invite Nico to come in and tell you a little bit about how the Lord has touched his life. Father, we ask that you'll bless Nico as he comes and shares a little bit about what you have done in his life and the changes that you've brought forth and the perspective that you now have given him of what success is truly about and the burden that you've placed upon his heart to share with others about what true success is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nico, come on out if you will. Somebody knock on Jean's door there. There he is. Pictures are over, brother. Come on up.
You hear Eric say, "Get him at Joe Charles, huh?"
Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gain souls for you, to bring the lost, the broken, back to you, to have your heavenly angels wrap your arms around all of us, so one day we may come back and truly spend time with you, Father. For we all are broken. We are lost. We all have addictions and afflictions. We all need to know the only difference between us is that we got down on our knees and we decided to ask for forgiveness. So thank you so much for AFCO, for the ladies and gentlemen that are here. And more importantly, Father, let it be your words. Let me put myself at the foot of your cross. Let me stand under your grace and your blood. And I ask that in Jesus' most precious and wonderful name. We all said amen. Amen. I want to start with the scripture. I don't know if you guys have your sword with you. But if you go to John 16 or John 17, verse 20. It says, I am praying not only for the disciples, but also for those who will ever believe in me. Because of their testimony, my prayer for all of them is that they will be as one. Just as you and I are as one, Father. That just as you are in me, and I am in you, so they will be in us. And the world will believe that you sent me. So we all have a testimony. Basically, I grew up in Covina, California. I grew up in a home that there was over 60 foster children in a period of about 5 or 6 years. Yet it was a broken home. No structure, no foundation. So from that, I left home at about 13 years old. Pretty much saw every kind of abuse you could see. I was baptized at age 8. And my father actually spent some time with some Seventh-day Adventists before he became a very, very well-known biker in a biker gang I won't mention. From that, I got into martial arts, got into boxing. People asked me why. I said, well, kind of grew up in a rough childhood, so kind of was my reason for learning how to fight. My father used to take a couple of tires and put it in the yard, and whoever could make it out of that tire in one piece was the winner, while they would sit around and drink and smoke and do whatever else they do, play with their motorcycles. So from that, basically, I got into martial arts, into boxing, into films. Had a pretty long career in martial arts movies and actually been all over the world, fought all over the world. Russia, Thailand, Brazil. Had pretty much everything that anybody could ever really want. Coming from a broken home, if you achieve championships and you achieve trophies and inanimate objects and more money than more women than money, I want to say. Then all of a sudden you find yourself lost. Isn't that something? You achieve everything that the world wants you to achieve, but that you find yourself lost. You look in the mirror and you don't like what's looking back at you. And you don't know why. So finally, after shattered dreams and broken promises and everything that I went through, I decided I'm done with this world. I'm done. I'm going into the dark world. And I was able to protect kids from being molested, women from being raped, yet I became addicted to a very, very strong drug. And I was just committing suicide to my spirit. Sometimes I wonder, committing suicide are committing suicide to your spirit. You become the walking dead. You have no hope, no faith, and you're just basically watching life go by, getting high, waiting to die. So for doing that for a period of time, I actually became a bodyguard for drug dealers, daydreamers, and gunslingers. And I said, there's got to be something better out there than this. This cannot be my legacy. How can you go from being a champion, having a TV series, 30 martial arts films, one of the most dangerous men in the world, how can you go from that to just ODing in some crack house somewhere? But that's what the devil wants you to do. It's only for a season. So from there, I decided that wasn't for me. I was going to get up off that canvas. I wasn't going to wait for the 10 count or the tap out. I was going to ask God for help. I kept this little bit of faith in my hand. My mom, before she committed suicide, said to me, don't ever lose your faith. And she was working for a suicide prevention program at the time. So you can imagine how that hit me. But after I made that prayer, it was like God took 15 years off of me and gave me my mind back. Little did I know that I had some family members that were still Seventh-day Adventist. And they said, you know, Nico, something in your voice. I know you're doing rap music. You're doing spoken word. You're telling me it's about God. But I can hear that it's really about God. I can hear it. Why don't you come up to Malibu? I went there for a minute and met a pastor named Pastor Larry Mager. Very conservative, older gentleman. But he knew about my background, and he asked me on Christmas Eve if I would come and do a testimony and a spoken word. I thought, uh-oh, that's God talking. Christmas Eve. I know a lot of other places I could be on Christmas Eve, but I guess I'll be in church. So I did that, and he asked me to come back and do another spoken word called Listen, which I'll do for you guys before I get out of here. The first one I did was God's Soldier. And then he said, you know, I want you to go to elementary school, speak to little kids. And I said, okay, I'm willing to fall on that sword. So I went and did that. And then the high school coach was there, or the high school principal and coach. He said, Nico, would you come and speak to the high school? And I said, okay, I'll do that. I'm willing to fall on that sword. I said, well, I'm going back to the hood now. I got God in my heart. I got faith in my hand. I'm putting the word out. Everything's cool. He said, no, you're not. I'm going to take you to a place called APCO. I said, there's no way I'm going anywhere called APCO. I don't care what it is or what it's about, but I'm not going. He said, well, you know, what we did is we went to the elders and said, are we going to play a church or are we going to be a church? And we feel that you have a calling. You have some sort of a gift that God has given you to be able to speak and to be able to relate your story. And I wondered, well, how you go from a death wish to a promise to studying to be an evangelist inside of a year. I should have never said that. Because the next thing, I was on my way to APCO. And as we were looking at the trees and everything like that, I just said to myself, man, I want to go back. I do not want to do this at all. Call it flashbacks, whatever you want to say. I didn't want to be there. He had tears in his eyes. He said, Nico, I'm saving your life. You don't even know it. I said, how are you saving my life? I'm not dead. He said, I'm saving your second life. He said, I know you can bring souls to God through your ministry. I'm not letting you go back to L.A. Not now. Not now. Just trust me. So I came to APCO, blindfolded, feet held to the fire, and kidnapped. I could have actually had him arrested, but I don't think it's a great way to start out in your conversion, arresting your pastor. So I got to APCO, and I started to see these people with the happy Sabbath. That scared me more than any fighter I've ever faced. I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't know the difference between the Old Testament, the New Testament. I said, how could you tell me that this God spoke to the Holy Spirit and then he started creating the worlds? He made Adam in our own image, and the Word was God, and God was the Word, and John the Baptist, and then Jesus came down, and he was separated from God. I said, everybody here knows all this, pretty much. And these are people I would not hang out with, and vice versa. I'm seeing these third and fourth generation Seventh-day Adventists with a painted smile, just happy as can be, reading the Bible, singing, whistling. I said, I can't get any sleep around here. I'm going to have to put the law down. But then I thought to myself, no, you know why you're here, Nico? You're here to humble yourself. And you're kind of here to see that people have a good heart. And there's no malicious intent. And you're here to show them that if you can make it, that anyone can make it. And that they could see what the world is all about, what they want. There's no glamour in it. There's no peace of mind in it. More importantly, there's no God in it. There's no Holy Spirit in it. Dust to dust. And then we have heaven. So what I want to end with is a spoken word called listen. Because God's always knocking. But if we're talking, we're not going to hear it. Don't worry, I'm not going to rap. This is called listen. When we all walk down our own streets tonight, how many of us will stay, oh Lord, and put on that look that only comes when you feel somehow, some way, all your hope is forever gone. For no matter how hard we try, only you seem to know the real reasons why. But have all our dreams, all our hopes, one by one, slowly become denied. Tell me, how does one prepare for those eyes of a cold, hungry, distant stare? Those windows of everyone else's soul that speaks of that frustration, that confusion, that devastation that's once again everywhere. Is it a live and let live world that we're in? Then why do some hurt anyone to get to the top? Does a story always have to be the same when those city blocks and those sidewalks begin calling out our name? So I keep asking, only for your answer. One right now I know we all need. Can we find peace of mind, keep our hope alive? We're just trying to survive. What's left to believe in? And why would someone as perfect as you take the time to listen to a sinner like me? For is it not all of our children? Some are still left alone on those corners. They're far too young. Innocence gone. Will they ever belong? Different faces from different places. But after all these years, Lord, please listen, because they still cry them same unheard tears. And then when we honor the brave, how do you truly thank someone for the lives that they gave? For too soon we will visit another hero's grave. So tell me, please, Lord, what progress have we ever really made? For are we not more than willing to pay the price? But at what cost? If someone ever drops that bomb, then everyone's gone. Now tell me, God, please, which side won and which side lost? So I keep asking, only for your answer. One right now I know we all need. Can we find peace of mind, keep our hope alive? We are just trying to survive. What's left to believe in down here? And why would someone as perfect as you take the time to listen? Listen to a sinner like me. And the Lord said, stop talking. Please take the time to listen. For don't you know by now I am the only reason? Just keep on believing. For when your spirit is weak and you're ready to let go, I'm the one. I choose to hold on. For your lessons here are not yet over. And that battle, the struggle for your soul continues on. But you're all of my children. I love you. I died so you could be forgiven. Angels are singing. Church bells are ringing. Babies are breathing. I promise you, one day on my command, all this evil you see will be leaving. And then you will join me forever, this time with the ones that you love in my holy kingdom. But you need to take the time to stop talking and just listen. So can we go ahead and close with a prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we are listening. We are ready to abide. We are ready to go where you ask us to go and do what you ask us to do. For we are all soldiers in God's army. And we pray that we are truly living in the last days. We can bring men, women, and children to the foot of your cross. Thank you for all your blessings, Father. I ask this in Jesus' most precious and wonderful name. Amen. And I have one appeal. If you believe that you are God's soldier, and you believe we're fighting the fight to truly bring our brothers and sisters back home, back to heaven, so we can stand beside our Father and not in front of our Father, would you stand up for me? 100% of my first appeal. That's what I was looking for. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.